Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, October 22nd, and a 2-0 basketball team in Detroit. So Mason, give it to him one time.
Detroit basketball!
This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and what's up to the new listeners? Many of you are just joining board as the new season starts. I know the regulars are out there spreading the word as well, too. So hello to all of you guys. A little background about me for the new listeners. I'm a Royal Oak guy, went to Central Michigan, and always knew that I wanted to be a sports writer like Mitch Albom and an announcer like Ernie Harwell. And so I'm here doing that in Motown. I moved to Port Huron after college for 4 years. Worked at the Times Herald, writing articles in Port Huron in the Thumb area up there. Also moved down to Springfield, Missouri to work at the Newsleader newspaper for 4 years there. Spent 3 years in the Virgin Islands as the sports editor for the Daily News down there, just sitting on the beach drinking rum and having a good time. And then spent 2 years in Chicago before moving back here during the summer. And excited to bring you guys a season of Pistons basketball once again. Coming up on the one-year anniversary. I think I probably actually passed the one-year anniversary of me bringing you the Locked On Pistons podcast. So thanks to all of you who have stuck through the first year and looking ahead to better things with the podcast and things going forward. But hey, a nice sports weekend for the Michigan sports fans out there, particularly the fans of the University of Michigan football team. The Lions with the victory on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins on the road in the Heat. The Red Wings even got a win. Your Pistons are 2-0. And like I said, the Michigan Wolverines, sorry to the state fans out there, but the Michigan Wolverines fans reveling in a rivalry victory, one that they needed, absolutely, as the Michigan State has dominated the tilts between those two teams lately. But today we're going to run down the Pistons' victory against the Chicago Bulls from Friday night. I'm also going to give you the story about why I didn't watch Saturday night's game, a little bit of a window into my weird life, but also some universal complaints that I kind of have about NBA media coverage and also the local media coverage as well. Also, we'll hear a little bit of audio from Dwayne Casey from Friday's practice. I was up there at the Palace, and I'm going to edit some of that stuff for you guys that's still relevant after game two as we play this here on Monday morning. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed, and give us a like on the Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook Facebook page as well. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now, right here on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. And our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than your traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more. We got some great start of the season packages for advertisers that I'll be happily willing to share with you if you get in touch with me about that. Or if you know someone who might be interested, send us a lead and we'll get in touch with them as well. But as you know by now, the Pistons beat the Chicago Bulls on Saturday night in the Windy City, 118-116. The Pistons this morning, as we tape this podcast, are one of only six undefeated teams in the NBA. The Pistons are 2-0 for the first time since 2015-16. You remember that season. It was the one time that the Pistons went to the playoffs in the past several years. They started 3-0 that year, if you can even imagine that. Before the 15-16 season, the last time that the Pistons went 2-0 to start the year was 2008-2009, and that was the last year before the 15-16 season that they went to the playoffs as well. And they went 2-0 the season before that, too, and also went to the playoffs. So if you're looking for some karma, the 2-0 start means that, guaranteed, no doubt about it, the Pistons will be back in the playoffs. I guess we'll remains to be seen about that. But as far as Saturday's game, Blake Griffin and three-pointers were the story. Blake with 33 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. Back on form. Check out the Facebook video that I shared on the Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook page. It's a Bulls Outsiders show with friend of the podcast, Matt Peck, who's one of the hosts of Locked On Bulls. They talked on and on after the show on NBC Sports Chicago. On their show, they talked about Blake Griffin. Some strong words and praises for him. He was outstanding. He had some late threes, 5-for-7 from deep in all. The team finished 18-of-40 from three-point land including 45% from three all told. And it sounds like they were bailed out of what was otherwise not so good of a game by the Pistons. Reggie Jackson was he scored 18 points. He was 4 for 7 from three himself, despite the big boneheaded foul late in the game that he was remorseful from in the post-game interview on radio that I was listening to with Mark Champion and Rick Mahorn. 16 points for Reggie Bullock in the win, 15 for Ish Smith off the bench, including 3 of 5 from three-point land. And by the way, another plug, I was at Pistons practice on Friday afternoon. I wrote up the story for the Detroit News, had that in Saturday's paper and also online. And it was about, the story was about Ish trying to improve his three-pointers and also some great praise from Wednesday's opener that he got on the telecast in an interview with Isaiah Thomas. And then Ish reacted to the getting that that news as well. So check that out, the story on my social media feeds from Friday. And I'll share that brief interview that we had with Ish from Friday on Tuesday's podcast tomorrow. And of course, Ish with the winning basket slices through the lane, gets the finger roll with 5 seconds to go. I'd like to think he got the karma from the story that I wrote about him, but he also had the volleyball spike at the buzzer after Zach LaVine lost the ball on the potential game-winning three-point attempt. I thought that maybe Ish could play well at some of my old Virgin Islands beach volleyball leagues that I played in with that kind of spike. But Andre Drummond, he had a rough game from what it sounds like. Like I said, I'll get into it later, but why I haven't even seen the game other than the highlights. But he fouled out in just 24 minutes of play, scored 10 points, 13 rebounds, 0 for 2 from three-point land, as I can hear the groans from you guys eliciting from the peanut gallery, myself included, that's for sure. But Andre Drummond, I believe now 1 for 5, all told from three-point land this season. He did have a nice block of a Bobby Portis dunk attempt, so go find that one, the highlight of that, if you haven't seen it yet. But what can you say? You know, a win is a win in this league, especially this early, especially on the road. I saw the post-game interview with Blake Griffin and Johnny Cain, and Blake acknowledging that the team has a long way to go. So obviously no one's sitting there fat and happy, especially with almost losing two games in those first two to a shorthanded Brooklyn team, a shorthanded Chicago team without Lauri Markkanen, one of the top rookies in the league last season. So definitely not the NBA's best that this team's going up against, but you play the teams in front of you. The Pistons have done that and made enough plays down the stretch to get those wins. But speaking of those Bulls, how about Zach LaVine? 33 points from him, a strong effort. And also a rocking United Center in South Chicago. That's a really nice sports town that they have in the Windy City. I'm sure you know that from afar, but I lived there a couple years, particularly with hoops, covered a lot of games in the United Center. So credit where credit is due to the Chicago Bulls and the fans there. You know, it's a downstretch for the Bulls, no doubt about it. They're a team that's not expected to win a lot of games, might not even get 30 wins this year, but they're up near the top of the league in attendance last season and have been during this stretch. And you expect that to continue because they've got some nice pieces with Lauri Markkanen coming back and then Wendell Carter, who hasn't really played much. He got about 20 minutes of action, pretty undescript against the Pistons on Saturday night. But they've got a nice future building there in Chicago, and we'll keep a close eye on them, the division rivals as well. But we'll see if Little Caesars Arena can maybe match up with some of that attendance. Like I said, we know how rough it was in the first season of Little Caesars Arena last year, and maybe this will be a little bit of an uptick. And of course, it would help if the winning ways for the Pistons continue. They will play host to the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, and all those guys in town on Tuesday night, and then against Cleveland and Kevin Love, the defending Eastern Conference champions. I say that with kind of a smirk, as we know that they are a totally different team coming into this year. Both 7 p.m. games at Little Caesars Arena this week. And the Pistons will also be home on Saturday night for the Boston Celtics, and then at Boston on Tuesday as a home-and-home series commences with those teams with a couple games in between. So this week, what do we say? Go beat Cleveland for sure on Thursday and somehow find a way to beat Philly or Boston and be 4-1 in the start of the season. We'll see how that goes. And obviously the Pistons and the NBA calendar is a really tough one to predict game by game. But let's maybe start to see some more stretches of good play put together, as I think we can all admit that the Pistons kind of escaped with a couple of victories there, despite the fact that, 2-0 is 2-0. But I'll tell you why I did not watch Saturday's game on the highlights and why it might matter for you as a Pistons fan. But Pistons season, as we said, continues this week. The Sixers on Tuesday, Cleveland in town on Thursday. And you should get down to Little Caesars Arena. I mean it. And say hi to me, too. I'll be at both those games covering for the Associated Press. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to, including the Pistons games this week. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season.
Yes, sir!
And later on, we are going to hear from Coach Dwayne Casey of the Pistons from Friday's practice. I talked to him along with James Edwards III of The Athletic and also Keith Langlois of Pistons.com when I was up covering for Rod Beard with the Detroit News on Friday during the day. But I wanted to share with you guys why I have not yet watched the game from Saturday night as I taped this late on Sunday night. By the way, just after a nice win for the Denver Nuggets against the Golden State Warriors at home in Colorado, by the way, just now. But I wanted to share my complaints with you guys, and I know some of it's going to sound like the musings of an old man. If you listen to the show, you know that sometimes I get like that. But I think that these are somewhat relatable things that Pistons fans should be watching out for out there in the world when it pertains to the local media and just how things work and the pecking order of things as Pistons fans. But maybe you have your own story of some difficulty that you've encountered following this team over these past few years in particular. And if you do have that story, you can call and leave a voice message on our new Google Voice line or text the number as well, and we can share along your two cents of things that maybe you've run into. I know we got some people out of the country and out of the state of Michigan that are listening, and maybe it's tough when you're beholden to the league pass. But even when you are here in Michigan, there are some things that you have to put up with. So if you got your own story, send it along, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666. Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 810-666-1546. That's the Google voicemail line. I'll be looking to hear from you guys there. But I had a long day on Saturday. I covered the high school girls golf state finals for the Detroit News and also MHSAA as well, also for the state champs website. But I'm hustling out there. I'm working hard as a freelancer these days, so respect the hustle. So many rain delays out in Battle Creek on Saturday at the Division I girls golf state finals. 6 hours of golf, just the golf play, and in addition to 2 hours of delays. But I honestly didn't mind that part of it. I actually like the high school sports. And I know that high school girls golf, you know, that might sound like the beginning of a joke or a punchline to you guys, some of you guys out there anyways, but it's not to me. Anytime you can be there when someone wins their, you know, high school state championship, really in any sport, you can sign me up for wanting to cover that kind of stuff. I think those are pretty cool moments. And as I've kind of evolved in my career to covering the Olympics and pro sports and major college sports and still mixing in some high school stuff, I actually find that I still do enjoy the prep sports stuff, which I know is what you start off at with your first jobs and all that kind of stuff and jobs like these. But anyway, I like those moments. I like being part of, you know, some of the best athletic days of people's lives, really. And so I didn't mind that part. Really cool story about the girl from Traverse City West, Annika Dye, I believe is pronounced her last name. But she's a girl going to the University of Michigan, won her third straight state championship in high school girls golf. But I know you're not listening to this podcast for that. I did, however, mind getting kicked out of the golf course by the officials in the clubhouse a little over an hour after the awards were over. And, you know, they had a long day, and I was trying to type up these stories. And, you know, they had to close up the golf course, and this one guy had somewhere really important he needed to be, apparently. And he wouldn't let me sit in the parking lot and type stories. They kicked me off the property because they had to close the gate. Just a crazy night. I promise you I didn't fight him or anything like that. But so I had to drive to a middle school a couple miles away. We're in the middle of nowhere. I say Battle Creek. This was not Battle Creek. This was, like, north of Battle Creek, just in the middle of nowhere at Bedford Valley Golf Course. Maybe you guys are familiar with it. But it's not all glamorous out there on the road as a freelance journalist, I promise you. But I got back on the road from Battle Creek to the Detroit area about the middle of second quarter of the Pistons game. Checked the phone, the score, and all that. Couldn't even find the game on the radio. So for what it's worth, Battle Creek is kind of a dead spot for affiliates with the Detroit Pistons radio network. Got on 994 and almost just went straight to Firekeeper's Casino in Battle Creek, to be honest. Maybe play a little blackjack, watch the Pistons, have some dinner. But I didn't want to do that until, you know, 11 or after, and then have still 2 hours on the road to get back to Metro Detroit. So the plan was to listen to the game on the radio and then maybe find somewhere to stop for the fourth quarter or something like that and then catch up with it on Sunday in a replay. But I'm flipping through the AM and FM radio, couldn't find it. I found a list of affiliates online. The Holland affiliate, which was pretty sketchy for the AM when I was in Battle Creek, and it was playing the Dodgers-Brewers Game 7 anyway. They had two Jackson stations listed, an AM and an FM station. And I know, again, oldest man alive talking about his radio things. I don't have Sirius in the car, so Sirius Radio or XM or anything, whatever the satellite radio preferred nomenclature is these days. I know it's just one company, but you could only really get the Jackson stations when you were right on top of Jackson, and I wasn't quite there yet. And the other problem was that the Red Wings were playing in Florida against the Panthers at the same time, so some of the same affiliates statewide use both of the teams, just like the Ticket does. And obviously, the Ticket has an affiliate and a fellow Entercom station, a sister station in WWJ, to play like they did on Saturday night. So when you have the Red Wings on, all sorts of these AM stations that might have both the Red Wings and the Pistons that don't have a sister station to throw it on. So I could pick up the Red Wings on a few different AM stations across the state. But I finally did get to where I could get the Ticket past Albion, 97.1 FM, short of Jackson there, and that was the Red Wings, frustrating there. But I had a brief time in Jackson where I could pick up the Pistons game, Mark Champion on the call with Rick Mahorn. And then in Ann Arbor, I finally got the WWJ signal in AM after I lost that Jackson signal. So, like I said, when the Red Wings or Tigers are playing at the same time as the Pistons, the Ticket will kick them off to WWJ, which I was surprised that their signal strength didn't get all the way to, you know, Lansing area, Battle Creek, or anything like that. But now, during the fourth quarter of the game, I'm listening. I'm getting, you know, anxious as I do during Pistons games, just to kind of, you know, you're upset about the Reggie Jackson stuff, that Andre fouls out, Blake's playing really well, and I'm picturing it all in my head. Obviously, I'm not watching the game, so I want to stop some more for the last few minutes. Stopped for gas anyway around Ann Arbor and actually went right to the hotel where I park at for Michigan football games, and I take a shuttle in from there. So I figured I'd go to this little sports bar that I've been seeing almost every Saturday for the last couple months and finally go in there and see what it's like. They want $5 for cover at the hotel sports bar. I declined to pay that just to watch the Pistons, by the way, and I went right in. The girl at the door must have seen from my face that I've had a long day and I was not going to give her $5 to see the crappy country band that they had there. And they had football on at the bar. They had Ohio State. And when you're in an Ann Arbor bar and Ohio State's on the ropes in a football game, that's a big deal. Obviously, you got Game 7 baseball, Dodgers and Brewers as well. And they had one guy at the bar who was watching really intently that game. So only two TVs at the bar. And there were ones right by where the band was playing. I wasn't going to go over there. And I was like, screw it, I'm out. So drove a little more and down to 5 minutes. I figured, you know, I'll pull over, watch the very end of the finish on my phone. I've got league pass. This shouldn't be a problem. I've watched games on my phone before. Now, as a newly Michigan resident, I was reminded about the blackouts. You can't watch on your phone if it's on locally. So, the Fox Sports Detroit has exclusive rights. And just because you have NBA league pass doesn't mean you can just fire it up on your league pass through the computer or the phone. So the clock is ticking. I just listened to the game instead. An exciting finish. And like I said, kind of a pleasure to listen to Mark Champion and Rick Mahorn, which is something I rarely do. But, you know, this is game two of the season and they got the win. I'm dedicated to bringing you guys some good coverage on the podcast. So I figured I'd rewatch sometime on Sunday today. Well, again, league pass. You can't rewatch a game that was covered locally until 3 days after the game is over. So I still can't watch it on Monday. Just completely ridiculous. I would have watched those there. But then I looked and saw Fox Sports Detroit, which is the reason that they have these rights. They weren't even showing any replays at all on the channel on Sunday at all. And I would have watched those. And really, I just had no way of watching this game. And maybe Fox Sports Detroit has an app or something I could watch, or maybe through their website, but I'm just done with it at this point. I'm moving on. I read up on the game from everywhere you could read, and maybe I'll watch the game before I go cover Tuesday's game against Philly for the Associated Press, but we'll see. But have you had these kind of league pass issues of the blackouts, these kind of, you know, the bar situation as well, the lack of interest in the team that you're really into? You know, it was third on the pecking order in this random place in Ann Arbor. So again, pretty rough night for me. One of those nights that everything that could bother you kind of just does bother you. And it was nothing serious, just lots of annoyances after being away all day for nearly 16 hours in the wet and the cold covering a high school golf tournament. But that just a long day, and I was anxious to share my complaints with you guys, and thanks for letting me complain about it here on Locked On Pistons. But Locked On NBA, it never went away through the offseason and is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on around the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On NBA. They got new guests as well throughout the week. Sam Amick of The Athletic is joining, and also Ben Golliver of Sports Illustrated. Great writers around the league with some good insights, and hopefully maybe they'll have reasons to talk about your Detroit Pistons on the Locked On NBA show. Good stuff daily from that podcast. But next, we're going to hear from Coach Dwayne Casey from Friday's practice. We'll talk to him next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network. Your team every day.
When Richie was sick and you had to start somebody else, I'm just curious why you chose Bruce over like Glenn or Langston. Is that because you talk about wanting a second unit identity? Did you want to keep those guys?
Well, you want to have a balance. You want to have balanced scoring coming off your bench. We got some pretty good scores in our first unit. It kind of keeps everybody else in the same role more so than a second unit or a first unit. I love Langston and Glenn's energy coming off the bench, both defensively and offensively, and you kind of don't want to mess with that. But I really thought that Bruce did a heck of a job defensively. That's the kind of energy on the ball we need, and he gave us that.
I remember before the season started, you said it would take about 5 or 10 games for your spectrum to kind of smooth out. Upon further review, you guys were pretty far away and way too many mid-range shots for your liking in that first game.
Well, in the first game it was. And again, some of it was matchup driven. I thought we were probably 6 threes away from our goal in the 3-point shooting wise. And I think a lot of it was if we had to hit the first couple, we'd get some more confidence. But even with that, we still have to take it. We turned down some threes that we had. And I don't know, because it was because we felt like our rhythm was off, whatever, but we got to take those shots.
Seems like there's such a thing as like rust for a 3-point shooting club in a first game especially.
I wouldn't say rust. I would say first game jitters more than anything else. Just feeling the game, the rhythm of the game. I do, and like James said, it's going to take, 10 games to get the rhythm down, the shot spectrum, understanding good three versus bad three. I thought our first few exhibition games, we took some tough threes, not bad threes, some tough threes. And it just takes a while when you're playing that way, up and down, free-flowing offense, of understanding good three, bad three, lightly contested, all contested. And we'll figure that out.
Do you look at the offense grading, defense grading stats from NBA.com, or I know some organizations kind of tweak their own formulas. Do you?
I look at everything. We have our own formula, but I look at all the stats. I look at all the information. I would say I've become an analytical geek, so to speak, because they don't give you the answers, but they give you a lot of light, the clues to the roadmap of what's going on. And again, you're still dealing with people, but the analytical age is so advanced now that it can give you a lot of tendencies, answers, or maybe lead you in a certain path of what to do and not to do, or what you're not doing well. So I look and look at everything.
Are there any stats from a team-wide perspective, like is offense grading, defense grading, are those meaningful for you?
Yeah, they are. They kind of tells you where you are, not only at that moment, but in the league, what you need to get stronger in. Again, it's not the only answer, but it's a strong indication of what you're doing or what you need to do better or any of that. So I look at a lot of the analytical stats, the groupings, plus minus, field goal percentage. So, all of that I'll take into consideration.
So with, I know Sammy's big too on them helping you, or looking at player combinations. How many games do you need to make those things meaningful?
It's, you're right, you have to have a healthy set. That exhibition season doesn't really give you anything.
Yeah.
I would say probably the 5-game, 6-game stretch is a good, in the good sample size to help you out.
So you'd be doing maybe some experimenting here before you really set.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be experimenting. Hopefully, I would have a better clue, I wouldn't put a lot into it. Probably 5 or 6.
Clock doesn't start ticking on Zach until the G League calendar starts. Is that when?
Monday.
Is it Monday?
Monday.
Well, will he go to Drive?
I would say yes. Right now he'll go down there. And again, it's not. I don't want to even use the word go down.
Right.
Because for me, it's not a demotion. To me, it's a promotion to be able to go over there, to get his work in, to get ready to come back here. And if you have any player that goes over there and has that attitude, they probably won't be in a program very long, because we look at the Drive as an extension of us, of what we do here. I get daily reports from coaches over there about how guys are working and not working, or whatever they're doing, improving. So I really want to use our Drive as a huge tool for what we do in our development program, and like they do in Major League Baseball. You have prospects there that I would not even hesitate to let them play for Drive one night and come play with us the next night.
Whenever we've talked about Luke, it's been playing himself into shape and then also improving on the defense. I know he obviously started the game, but then I don't think he came back in that first half. Was that a mixture of the defense, you're not too happy with the defense to start the game?
Well, we didn't play well defensively. It wasn't just Luke.
No, it was
all of us. And again, we tried to get defense in the game. But Luke's defense has improved. I know he's conscientious about it. He's thinking about it. Again, a lot of it is, he's a young kid in this league. And until you get, 3 or 4 years under your belt, especially defense, because you got some good. And I'll tell you what, LeVert and Dinwiddie, who was used to be here, Dinwiddie was almost out of the league, but that young man has worked and worked and worked and worked to get, he's one of the top guards in our league. So they're great examples of guys working their craft and improving, and that's the kind of program we want to have here, is look at our young players, 2-3 years from now and say, hey, whoa, those guys got better. That's a hell of a compliment to a coaching staff.
And that was Coach Dwayne Casey on Friday afternoon at the Palace practice facility leading up to Saturday's game with the Chicago Bulls. Just wanted to pass that along, as I thought you guys might enjoy the analytics talk that he had with Keith Langlois, in addition to the Luke Kennard breakdown at the very end there, after Luke did not end up playing at all on Saturday night against the Chicago Bulls. But we'll pass along some of those sound bites as they come and edit out the stuff that is boring. I know that some of that stuff gets a little bit repetitive at time, and we want to keep things fresh for you here on Locked On Pistons. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check out the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. Give us a like there. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. And I appreciate you guys for all your help and listening as well. But I want to help you guys out by telling you that with the Pistons coming home to Little Caesars Arena this week, make sure and go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more for new users of the Vivid Seats app. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. So from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more if you are a first-time user and buyer with the Vivid Seats app. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season. And actually this week, as we will talk about the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday's podcast, they are coming to Detroit. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow as well as having Ish Smith, a quick interview with him from Friday that we'll share with you on Tuesday. But you guys, thanks for joining. This is your host, Matt Shook, for the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying have a great start to the week, everyone.